All right, hour two of the Blitz is starting right now. 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We're live in your Fan Run Radio app. Working on, I've heard that's been cutting in and out a little bit today, so we're working on getting that fixed as well. But live in your Fan Run Radio app, we're live in the Fan Run Radio web browser, and that video feed, it's up over on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter page. If you want to watch along at home, that video feed is live. But before we get into an opening drive, I want to let you guys know. You know, I know you remember Free Window Tint Wednesdays with our guys over at G&J from football season. Well, we got a pretty sweet deal for you today for the Sweet 16. G&J Auto, they're giving away a free window tint in honor of the Vols Sweet 16 appearance. Free. It's my favorite price in the world, Sam.
Free 99.
F-R-E-E. All you have to do is go to fanrunradio.com. Pardon me, forgot the .com. So go to fanrunradio.com/tint. That's tint, T-I-N-T. And the winner will be announced Thursday afternoon on the drive. You have until, just saw Russell Smith tweet this out about 35 minutes ago. He tweeted the link too if you want to just go to his Twitter and click on it. But you have until today at 5 p.m. To get registered and potentially win, you know, a free window tint. Couldn't think of a better way to ring in the Sweet 16 than getting yourself some free tinted windows. So again, this afternoon, winner will be announced on the drive. It's a $300 prize value. You could be all yours for free. Again, courtesy of our friends over at G&J Auto Graphics. They do a lot more than window tints, too. So go ahead and check them out for, you know, whatever needs you may have. Anyways, Sam, let's what do you say? What do you say we go ahead and get hour two started with a little bit of an opening drive?
Let's go.
All right. First down, briefly mentioned this yesterday, but finalized this morning. Providence, they finalized the deal to make George Mason's Kim English, but, you know, also as we know him, former Tennessee assistant Kim English, the Friars' next head coach. Signing a 6-year contract, according to sources. School zeroed in on English rather quickly after Ed Cooley's departure, and then, you know, the agreement was reached last night, overnight, heading into this morning. Past two seasons, he went 14-16 last year, 20-13 this year. Baltimore native, he was a star at Missouri, again, spent time under Rick Barnes, played in the NBA for a couple of years with the Pistons, went and played overseas for, you know, a brief stint. He was under Tad Boyle at Colorado for a while. He's a name that's been, you know, hot, I think, in coaching circles. But it's more, I think, on potential and less on accomplishment to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that a lot of people like. A lot of people think, man, this guy can be a great coach, but I don't think he's really shown that yet. It's an interesting hire for Providence.
It is.
With all respect to Kim English, I don't think he's ready for that job. I mean, he gets the opportunity now to go prove it and to prove some people wrong. But, you know, 2 years at George Mason, one of them bad, one of them decent, in a really down year for the Atlantic 10. Like, to me, that doesn't scream, this guy needs to take over for Ed Cooley in Providence. But
definitely a big step up there.
Yeah,
large step. Large step.
And, you know, Providence has been, I think, a place where, you know, some people have been able to prove themselves as coaches. Some pretty high-level coaches have, you know, used Providence as kind of a stepping stone and a proving ground. But I don't know. I think Ed Cooley's done enough with that program that, like, Providence, in my opinion, should be holding themselves up to a higher standard
mm-hmm.
than Kim English.
Yeah, it was interesting, him only being there for 2 years at George Mason. You know, you would think...
Yeah, well-liked guy. You know, I think a guy, again, a lot of people believe in, but he just still needs to prove it.
Right. A jump from George Mason to Providence in 2 years. You know, you would think that's more of like a, you've been there 5 or 6 years and you've had very consistent success in that time. And it's like, okay, he needs the next step.
Won Big East tournaments.
Right.
Yeah, you've been ranked top 10.
Right.
The Dunkin' Donuts Center has emerged as like one, it's not the Dunk anymore, but it's always the Dunk to me. I mean, that's emerged as like one of the better home courts in all of college basketball. Like, Providence is a basketball school. I saw someone say this yesterday. The Big East, man, it's built on
meatballs,
prayer, and basketball.
Yep. Yeah.
I love that I think we're building up some more hate in the Big East, though.
Yeah. There's nothing like the Big East basketball rivalries.
I love Big East basketball, man. But, yeah, I think, I don't know, it felt like things have gotten a little too nice in the Big East lately. But now Slick Rick's back. And Ed Cooley, for whatever reason, just kind of continues to, like, twist the knife with Providence. He said yesterday it was, like, divine providence that he made it to Georgetown. And I was like, really? That's how you're going to phrase it?
That's pretty wild.
Recruiting their roster away after telling them that you weren't going anywhere. And, you know, you're going to twist the knife like that. I think there's going to be some great, good old-fashioned hate back in the Big East. But, yeah, Kim English. Again, just feels weird to me. I know it's a guy that a lot of Tennessee fans have been like, well, he's got a head coaching job. Maybe he's Rick Barnes' replacement. We'll see how he does at Georgetown, I guess. I mean, not at Georgetown, at Providence, I guess.
But I'd be surprised if that's where they go.
Yeah, I would too. We talked about it. You're set up whenever Rick Barnes retires to make a huge hire. Second down.
Ohio State had their pro day yesterday. C.J. Stroud looked good. Very good. And the Panthers loved it. The Panthers loved it. They had 13 executives, including Josh McCown, Frank Reich. Their owner was there. Wrapping up from the pro day, C.J. Stroud and Josh McCown talking about playing a little basketball together. C.J. Stroud goes, we got a court right over there. Let's go play. And Josh McCown just pats him on the back. No, it's all right. Maybe we'll find you a court when you're living in Charlotte.
Yeah, I wonder what the market is now on first pick.
I don't know, but I'd be pretty confident that C.J. Stroud is now -400 to be the top pick, and he was -180 before his pro day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just what you have to do if you're Vegas. You have to protect yourself at this point.
If
Josh McCown's out here saying that, then I think C.J. Stroud's probably going to be the first pick.
Yeah.
Which at this point too, if you're the Panthers, I mean, usually we start to just know first picks. Like last year was a weird year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason to hide who they want at this point. I mean, maybe if you get like intel that the Texans really like Bryce Young. Or like someone like at third, or like, and then you know someone with like the third pick also really likes Bryce Young. Like maybe you could try to trade up and then you know trade back to like 3, 4. But like, I don't think you can take that risk if C.J. Stroud's your guy. So you know, I think we're probably just gonna get to a point leading into the draft where it's just known C.J. Stroud will be the first pick.
Yeah,
which feels weird. Of all the directions that we've turned and gone in this offseason from the end of college football throughout this draft process, landing on C.J. Stroud about this, you know, this point in March, it seems a little strange.
Another great quote coming out of the Ohio State Pro Day yesterday was Marvin Harrison Jr. was catching routes for C.J. Stroud, and someone tweeted, got a text from an NFL scout at the Ohio State Pro Day after watching Marvin Harrison Jr. run routes, quote, it's like window shopping at a Lamborghini dealership for the model that doesn't come out until next year. What a quote.
Yeah, hopefully has a little bit less of a violent streak off the field than his father did. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be really good.
I agree.
If he ends up a Colt, I think I'd quit.
Yeah, I'd stop watching football.
We were haunted by Marvin Harrison for way too long.
He should be on the Titans for what Marvin Harrison did to us.
That's actually, I think, a really fair deal. I think Marvin Harrison should have to play for either the Jags, Texans, or Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. It's like for the PTSD that they've that he's caused us. I think he needs to repay the favor.
And if Reggie Wayne has a kid, then he also has to play for one of the AFC South teams.
Mm-hmm.
But not the one that gets Marvin and not the Colts.
And the Titans already called Arch Manning. He's ours.
Yeah, can we get Arch Manning and Marvin Harrison Jr. on the same NFL team in like 4 years?
I'm down.
I still don't know about Arch.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, who knows really know how good Arch. The guy is?
I'm not big on Arch.
He was playing like literal alligators down in Louisiana. They weren't even real people.
No. Literal alligators like would have been a better defense than what he faced.
Yeah, yeah.
He was playing like Page Middle School.
They were like, could you look at the pocket presence from Arch Manning, and he's just running around 9 times. It's like, well, there's nobody chasing him. It just looks like a Madden player just like circling around.
It looks like someone got really like frustrated after their team lost a close game, so they go in Madden and they set it all to rookie and yeah. just like dominate a team.
Yeah.
That's what Arch Manning in high school looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then again, you know, the Mannings all had that route and they all turned out pretty good, but I'm not sold on Arch. There's nothing about him that really makes me go, besides his brain. Got a good brain.
I'm more intrigued by Quinn Ewers now after he cut that rat tail mullet.
I think he's got franchise
quarterback all over him.
No. Quinn Ewers with a mullet, substantially better. I just think he was used poorly because I don't think Steve Sarkisian's a very good coach.
Power of a haircut, just wait.
It's going to make him worse. Sarkisian's the problem, not the mullet. Third down. Weird news yesterday here. Arizona guard Kirk Carisse has entered the transfer portal. He announced yesterday. He told ESPN that he was entering. He led the Pac-12 in assists this season. He averaged just a hair under 10 points a game, 9.9 points a game, but 5.5 assists to go with it. He spent the entirety of his U.S. collegiate career with Arizona. He's a native of Estonia. In 76 career games with Arizona, he's averaged 9.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists, pardon me, and 2.5 rebounds. 22 years old. You know, I think he's definitely going to be pretty highly coveted by somebody. Also probably the biggest wild card in the transfer portal, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is the type of player that can shoot you both in and out of games on any given night.
That's a good way to put it.
But I don't know. Apparently his relationship with Arizona did kind of end badly, and it was more of an amicable divorce between the two. I think everyone just kind of thought it was in both parties' best interest. He's a strong leader, I guess, at times, but also really just emotionally volatile, and I think sometimes he hurt that Arizona team more than he helped them. Seems like there is some tension between him and Tommy Lloyd, specifically, you know, with all the threes that he would take sometimes. So, and I think both of them are fine to go their separate ways. It was one of my favorite jokes from the season, though, was when it was just, screw it, it's Kirk Carisse time. And he would just spend 3 to 4 minutes in the second half, like, bricking multiple three-pointers and, like, throwing a pass out of bounds and, like, picking up a technical foul.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Kirk Carisse time.
Kirk Carisse time.
Tubelis, yeah, he's really good, but, like, I'm Kirk Carisse. I'm from Estonia. I'm going to shoot threes. I need this guy in a Duke uniform.
Yeah, it is a good fit.
I mean, you shouldn't want him as a Duke fan, but I've never in my entire life seen Grayson Allen, but he was already at Duke. I've never seen a player that's not at Duke more deserving of being a Duke basketball player. Like, Kirk Carisse was, I think, born to be a Duke villain and somehow ended up at Arizona. I need to see him in a Blue Devils jersey, like, pushing a ref and breaking a three-pointer and then, like, flipping off the crowd at UNC.
Yeah.
I think if you put him in a Duke uniform,
not a bad fit either.
Maybe
with that headband, a baby blue headband.
I don't know,
headband.
Man. They already like hate each other on that team. You're gonna throw Kirk Carisse in there, they might start fighting.
another solid big man that he could dump it into, but he's going to shoot threes instead. Bacot's got 9 years of college experience. Why aren't you dumping it down low?
Bacot is going to be a problem next year. He's already just
I would hope so.
He's already just so good, but now he's just also going to be 23.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I think if Kerr Carisse put the Duke uniform on, I think he might even elevate his villain level to his villain arc to the next level.
He might be more hated than Christian Laettner if he went into a Duke uniform.
I think he could pass Grayson Allen. I think if he puts a Duke uniform on, he might just start tripping people.
He would do something way more egregious than a trip. You know, it would be like a...
Yeah, dude, he's too bold to, like, subtly trip someone.
I think he'd just start diving at knees. Like, you know, a ball's on the floor and he's not going for the ball. He's just, like, going after your ACL.
You see him just full flat body, head forward, just spear someone.
Dolphin dive someone,
like, 3 inches away from the basketball.
Yeah.
No, yeah, if he hits Duke, he's going to take it to the next level.
He'll be getting basketball targeting penalties.
For the record, I don't think either of us think that he's going to Duke. I don't even think Duke is, like, going to talk to him.
I wonder where he will go, though, actually.
I don't know. Like, what is the level for him? Is it...
I mean, you would think it's another high major.
I think it's probably the second tier of high majors. So, like, not your, like, top 10 teams, but, like, an Illinois-level team.
Doesn't seem like a good Illinois fit. I don't know.
I mean, I was just using
Kansas yesterday.
Oh, I was using Illinois more so as, like...
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
Like a compare. I don't think he's going to go to Illinois either, but...
Maybe a... No, yeah.
I really don't know. I really
what conference do you think he goes to?
I don't know. The Big East, maybe. Ed Cooley, bring him home.
St. John's.
Slick Rick and Kerr Carisse taking on the world.
Creighton.
I mean, I don't know. The headband kind of works. You can just naturally transition from Bailey Shireman
exactly.
to Kerr Carisse.
Mm-hmm.
Have your headband, white guy.
Yep.
Fourth down.
Fourth down. Yeah, it is. I don't know if you saw this last night in the Mavericks-Warriors game. Wild ending. The Mavericks are filing a protest of their loss last night, 127-125 to the Warriors. There was a confusion over which team had possession of the ball, which then led to an uncontested dunk for Golden State in the third quarter. There was an inbounds play. There was 2 minutes left in the third quarter. The Mavericks, it was coming out of a timeout. And so the Mavericks think that they have the ball, and they're lined up on the opposite end of the court, offensive end. And apparently, the referee has said that they made a signal changing the call to Warriors ball. And so now the ball is inbounded in on the opposite side of the court. No Mavericks players on that side. And the Warriors just drop it in for a dunk. It's a 2-point loss. Mark Cuban is not happy at all. He went on Twitter last night. He voiced his opinion. Called it the worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA. All they had to do was tell us and they didn't. The refs come out, said that there was a second signal, but that signal is for a mandatory timeout that was due to the Mavericks. Just a weird situation, man. I mean, it was, if you watch the video, almost everyone is out of place there. Coaches are confused, players are confused. Luka Doncic saying, "What is that? I've never seen that happen in my life." Even Steve Kerr came out and said, what are they doing down there at the other end? I had to stop and think, is this right? I thought it was pretty clear that it was our ball, and that's why I was drawing up a play out of bounds on the baseline. What a crazy confusion in this game. That seems like the most NBA thing, you know? I guess it is getting down into the back end of the season.
There's like 8 games left, I think.
Yeah, we are into the end of the season, so I guess it is an important, you know, an important one there. And it is, okay, yeah, the Mavericks 36-37, and now the Warriors are 38-36, so I guess those games are becoming pretty important in that playoff push. So just a weird play, man. just a weird play. For something that's such a middle school type thing to happen, you know, like, oh, these guys forgot where the inbounds play was. And look,
the other team's on the other side of the team. Seems like on Twitter
they're making fun of them. Yeah. Golden State, the 6 seed now. Dallas, the 9 seed. So they'll be in that play-in. Lakers are just holding on into the play-in. They're a half game inside.
Yeah, what do the NBA standings look like right now? You said
the play-ins right now.
No idea the Mavericks were the 9 seed right now.
Yeah. So it will be the Timberwolves and the Lakers, and then the Thunder and the Mavs in that play-in.
Gosh, from 4 to 12 in the West, it's separated by 3 games.
Yeah, the West is kind of a logjam.
We might need to start keeping an eye on this playoff race.
I know. This is kind of I'm just not a big NBA guy.
But this is about the time I start getting into
exactly.
It. Usually about April when there's about 6 games left.
When you're getting towards the end of college basketball season.
I keep up with the Heat, obviously.
Right.
But outside of that, I mean.
I don't really have a big NBA team. I think that's the big one, too. I
beat the Knicks last night.
I don't like the Grizzlies all that much. So I don't.
We got a big game with Brooklyn on Saturday. We're tied for the final spot outside of the play-in.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah. White hot, baby. I do think the playoffs in the NBA this year are going to be really good.
No, they will. They're always good. The NBA playoffs are a great playoffs.
This year, though, I think there's like less of a clear-cut favorite in each conference.
I completely
agree. And I also think each conference is significantly deeper than they've been in years past.
So the bottom teams can knock off anyone on the top, I think, this year.
Yeah, I mean, more so in the West, I would say, maybe. For sure. But, like, you know, you tell me even, like, Chicago plays Boston. And they don't make that a series. I know they're 34 and 38, but like they don't at least make it a series. I don't know. Maybe they do, or maybe like Atlanta with Trae Young like finds something. Miami, no matter who they play of those top seeds, they'll make it a series. But especially in the West, I mean, yeah. Mavs Grizzlies, the 2v7 potentially. I mean, that could feel like a 1v2 conference final.
Yeah, I just never. I wish I got into the NBA earlier than I did, like into the seasons, but I just never do. And then, you know, I do. I pick it up with about 10, 15 games left in the regular season, but you don't really have the full scope of what the entire season's been like, and then you just jump into the playoffs. But I find the NBA playoffs to be very entertaining.
Good opening drive. We'll get back into the Sweet 16 on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit runs. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. All right, back here on the Blitz. Spend some time talking about Tennessee and FAU today. We have a full slate of Sweet 16 games as well. 3 other games tonight. We're also getting the Vegas Regional out west, the West Region, UConn, Arkansas, and then, you know, you got UCLA and Gonzaga. It's going to catch on, by the way.
UCLA?
UCLA.
No, I'm not doing that.
I've been calling them UCLA for like 2 years, eventually, right? Eventually somebody's going to figure it out.
9:45, dude.
It's a late game.
That's such a late game.
Like, I feel bad for, like, regular adult East Coast basketball fans.
Yeah, like, someone's got to go to their job tomorrow.
Like me, I'm fine with, you know, having some drinks tonight and staying up till 1 a.m. and watching basketball, but probably a lot of people that can't just, like, do that. So, do feel bad for them that, like, that could be the game of the...
Think about being like a big fan of one of these schools, and you just got to like go to sleep at halftime.
If you're a big fan, I think you're staying.
You're probably staying.
But like, if you're just a big fan, but you know, there's like a dad out there that's probably got to wake up and get his kids ready for school, and he loves college basketball, but he just can't stay up till one, watching UCLA and Gonzaga. But your first game of the day is that Michigan State, Kansas State game, and I'm super into this game, man. I am so intrigued by this game. It's an interesting contrast in style. You know, I think Michigan State wants to be physical. They really kind of want to slow this game down. I think Michigan State is a better three-point shooting team than maybe they even realize. Like, they could afford to even, you know, shoot more threes than they do, but this is a really interesting guard matchup too, I think. Obviously, we know about Marquise Noel. And then, you know, for Michigan State, they've really seen Tyson Walker play some great basketball lately. So Tyson Walker versus Marquise Noel, very intriguing matchup. But I also look at what Michigan State was able to do to Tyler Kolak last week. You know, Marquette's high-powered guard. Pretty much completely shut him down. And you know, Noel a little bit more quick, I think a little bit more creative, but I'll be interested to see if he can crack this Michigan State defense. I mean, I think Kansas State is going to have, like, the best two players on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Noel probably the best player on the floor. But then, I mean, Keontae.
You could probably make an argument for either one as the best player on the floor, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Keontae right up there, too, is potentially the best player on the floor. Keontae Johnson scores more. You know, Marquise Noel maybe creates more.
He's such a good passer. And that's not a knock on,
like, Tyson Walker or you know, Joey Hauser. Like, those are another two really good basketball players. But, man, this one really just feels like a toss-up.
Yeah, it does. It does. I feel like I just have to ride the hot hand with Mr. New York. I just can't really, like, go against a guy who calls himself Mr. New York. And he's just he's unbelievable. His passing is unbelievable. This is a great March. Man, I have no clue what is going to happen in this game, because you've got an Izzo-led Michigan State team, a 7 seed. You know, it's one of those teams where it's just the classic. You know, you get the 7 seed almost every year, it seems like, into the Sweet 16-ish, where they're poised to make a deep run. They're playing another team that's hot. 7 seeds
from the East, too, have had a great track record.
Yeah.
And 7 seeds in MSG.
And then you just put in Tom Izzo coaching that team behind it. It's like, well, that's a tough team to beat. But this Kansas State team is so hot. They're very well balanced. And it's tough to beat Jerome Tang and Lil Baby.
I part of me feels like this is the end of the road for Kansas State.
Yeah.
You know, they were a team that was maybe a little bit fortunate to even win as many games as they did this year. You know, when you get into, like, KenPom's luck rating, they were really high up there. They won a lot of close games. You know, so I think even though you have the seed gap from 3 to 7, we're seeing it in the way this game is being treated in the spread. Like, there's not a huge difference between these two teams. I don't know. To me, it comes down to, like, A, does Tom Izzo continue to be Tom Izzo in March? But then also, you know, what is this game? What is this run for Marquise Noel? I think it goes one of two ways. You know, Mr. New York, undersized guard, he's heating up, he's back in his hometown, he's at MSG. I think he either completely catches fire and you know, again, has like a Kimba-like run,
mm-hmm.
or the pressure gets to him, and the moment gets too big for him. And you know, a really good defensive team like Michigan State that's, you know, not going to give them the same looks that Kentucky did because they don't have a guy like Oscar Tshiebwe to trap in the pick and roll, you know, makes life really difficult on Marquise Noel, and he tries to do too much, and he starts forcing shots, and he doesn't have a good game. I'm starting to kind of lean that direction. As much as I like Noel, as fun as a story as it is, you know, he is Mr. New York. I think the moment's going to get the better of him. I just don't know if Kansas State is ready for this moment, but I do think Michigan State is. So, again, I think it's going to be really close. It's a real toss-up, but I do kind of lean Michigan State.
I think the turnovers are a big part in this game. Kansas State kind of turns the ball over a decent bit. They're averaging like 14 turnovers a game. I think you could, you know, just some of those Michigan State teams, they get feisty. I think that could be a big way that Michigan State comes up big. Maybe get Marquise Noel playing a little fast, a little out of control. I think you're right. I think that could be a potential way that the game swings in towards Michigan State's favor.
And then for UConn-Arkansas, I'm pretty excited for this one.
This is my favorite game of the night outside of the Tennessee game.
I still think Michigan State might be my favorite game of the night, Michigan State-Kansas State. But, I mean, obviously we're all into the Tennessee game, but the other three games are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is just one of those nights where you could not ask for a better night of basketball. Truly. I am so freaking excited, man. But in this game, I don't know, my biggest question for UConn, right, is are their guards good enough? Are their guards good enough? Because Sanogo has been incredible this tournament.
Right.
You know, he's just an absolute force down low. And what they did against Iona and St. Mary's, both really impressive. They did start slow in both of those games, but they've really, really just closed them out. But with Arkansas, you know, they have a ton of size on the perimeter. You know, Anthony Black, a taller guard. Like, they're a lengthy team on the perimeter, not so much inside, though. Arkansas wants to chase you off the three-point line. You know, they want to run you off the three-point line and funnel everything inside, and that's where they have, you know, the Mitchells, and that's where they have some of their shot blockers. Like, that's where they have some of their rim protection. It's going to be tougher for UConn to score inside. Like, those guards are going to have to step up. And I don't know how much I really trust Tristan Newton. I don't know how much I really trust Jordan Hawkins. I think Andre Jackson, he had 7 assists, 1 turnover in their win over St. Mary's. I think he's kind of their glue guy. Like, I think he could be the X factor in this game. But then for Arkansas, you know, they were a team that was they were incredibly unimpressive down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Very.
You know, you beat Illinois. Like, that's cool. I didn't really think all that highly of that Illinois team. I think the question now is, like, was that win against Kansas a March upset, or was it a sign of an Arkansas team figuring it out? UConn's played like the best team in the tournament so far.
No, UConn has looked unbelievable, top to bottom. And this Arkansas team, you're right, it is kind of is it a March Madness run, or is it a team that had loads of potential at the start of the year and they're finally clicking in the perfect time? I don't know.
I mean, I think Arkansas is more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Devo Davis, Ricky Council, like, both of those guys been playing really well lately. Jordan Walsh, Anthony Black, like, they're doing their part.
A good
I'd also probably give Musselman the edge over Hurley in the coaching department.
Yeah. Probably tournament experience, like, right now, yeah. I just think they've got a nice – I like Arkansas's mix of, you know, young, talented freshmen to veteran guards and stuff like that. I just think they have a well-rounded roster, and it could be a really close game here tonight. But I really like UConn. Like you're saying, I think they're playing the best basketball out of anyone.
I do think that Musselman, with a week to prepare, man, he is going to find some opportunities to exploit UConn. He's really good at getting his team in some favorable one-on-ones, especially when he has time to prepare. You know, I could see UConn getting stuck in a couple of peculiar matchup situations,
mm-hmm.
like with Hawkins especially out there on the perimeter, you know, trying to take on those more athletic guards. But I just do really believe in UConn. I believe in the way they've been playing. I think they've played some excellent basketball. I mean, they were my pick to win the NCAA tournament. You know, that's a team I'm going to keep riding. I'm also taking UConn. And then your late game tonight, again, we talked about how late it's going to be. Man, Jared Diemy, he said he's got to be up at 3:30, poor guy.
You think we could bet on a technical foul in between one of the coaches in Arkansas and UConn?
What are the odds on that?
Musselman versus Dan Hurley? 400? Yeah, I mean, those are just two firecracker head coaches. It's going to be awesome.
They're going to be so sweaty.
Can we get Whoop to have them both put a bracelet on? Like, their heart rate's just in the 170s for, like, the entire game.
They're going to be so sweaty. That is going to be the sweatiest coaching match.
That will. Maybe they both end up without their shirts on by, like, the end of the game. They just shed them off. It's too hot.
Let's let them coach shirtless.
I'd be down.
It's Vegas.
Yeah. Anything happens in Vegas.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas? and then, you know, your nightcap, man. UCLA and Gonzaga.
UCLA. I could start getting behind UCLA. It's kind of fun to say.
It is kind of fun to say.
Yeah, this is a great matchup, man.
Biggest question of the night, though, in this matchup, what clip do they show first? Is it Jalen Suggs, buzzer beater, or is it Adam Morrison crying?
Probably the Jalen Suggs buzzer beater.
You think?
Yeah.
I kind of think it's Adam Morrison crying.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe the recency bias.
Friendly wager?
Yeah.
What about a wheel spin on it?
Yeah.
All right. One wheel spin has been bet on what they show first. Adam Morrison crying or Jalen Suggs buzzer beater a couple years ago in the Final Four?
I just think with it being just a couple years ago, they'd be like, yeah, let's throw that out there. What if they're like back to back? That'd be really cool. But like,
split screen.
Yeah, the exact same time.
If they're split screen, we both spin the wheel five times.
No.
I mean, they're not going to do that.
What if they match them up like in real time?
Pre-game show. Well, before we get into the game, let's just show you these two clips.
Let's look back into the history of these matchups.
Remember when Adam Morrison cried? Well, here it is. Probably the game. I mean, it's neither of our game of the day somehow, but it probably is nationally the game of the day.
I mean, yeah.
UCLA has just been quietly really good all year. Gonzaga, maybe not quite your mother's Gonzaga team. You know, their guard play leaves, I think, a lot to be desired, but man, they can score inside. Like Drew Timmy.
I can't stand Drew Timmy.
Me neither. He's just an old man hooping on all these kids down there in the WCC. Strother down there as well. Like, I trust them down low, but I don't really trust their guard play. This matchup is so strange to me because I do really like, you know, Jaquez, and like I think that he's just your most casual hooper on the planet, but I still would give the edge to Drew Timmy and company. You know, when you talk about your front court, but then when you get into the back court, yeah, I think Tiger Campbell and company really could run Gonzaga, really cause a lot of issues. Gonzaga's offense in the last month and a half has been unbelievable. UCLA banged up from an injury perspective. You know, they're missing one of the nation's best defenders. At the same time, I don't know, UCLA wants to force teams to take a bunch of jump shots and protect the paint. It's just, it's another interesting, you know, contrast of styles.
Mm-hmm.
Really, all four games tonight, I think, paint a really interesting picture of, like, again,
stylistic contrast. Yeah.
You could end up with some Elite Eight matchups on both sides where they have some similar looking, you know, teams. But like if Tennessee played Michigan State, like I think there's a lot of similarities there. You know, if Gonzaga ends up playing, you know, UConn, I think there's some similarities there. But stylistically tonight, a good bit of contrast. And this is a game that I really don't have a good feel for at all.
I don't either. This UCLA team, obviously, so much experience. They've got a ton of NCAA tournament experience under their belt. They've got talented freshmen that give them good minutes, good numbers. It's almost like you just want to take the opposite side of their last game, you know? Almost just take the other team from the rematch. It's another one of those toss-up games.
I feel like this game could be an overtime game.
Yeah.
I feel like this game could be a game
played. What if it's the exact same outcome again?
I think this could be a game like played up in the 80s. You know, I think this could be one of the more high-scoring games of the entire tournament.
I love this over.
Yeah. I guess, really, I just hope this is a good game. Like, I just hope that Tennessee gets a win tonight, and then we can, you know, just flip over to a second half of Gonzaga and UCLA, and we're just treated to a show. One of the best feelings in sports is when your team has already, like, punched their way into the next round, and then you just get to watch the rest.
You can enjoy the rest knowing, like, hey.
That's one of the best feelings.
Like, one of these teams in this game that I'm watching isn't going to go as far as Tennessee.
Like, when we won that game against Duke Saturday, when Tennessee did, just made Saturday and Sunday just, it's like a peak sports feeling.
It is.
It is. I mean, it's one of the best feelings out there, but I have a weird feeling Gonzaga wins somehow.
I have Gonzaga in, like, brackets and stuff like that.
Really don't know, but I think I'm rolling with, yeah, I'm going to roll with the Zags.
UCLA 2-point favorites. Just some great, these are just great basketball games. Four great basketball games. Biggest line is Tennessee -5. You have four basketball games that are,
yeah,
supposedly decided by 5 or less points tonight.
Awesome. It's like we're eating dessert before dinner tomorrow.
It's like I'm eating a massive tomahawk steak, and someone just put like an ice cream sundae in my face right before it was put on my plate.
Gonna be good. We'll catch a break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. I'm feeling rough. I'm feeling rough. Let's make some music, make some money, find some models for wives. I'll move to Paris, shoot some heroin, dig with the stars. You and the island and the cocaine and the elegant cars. Looking at some betting numbers. Interestingly enough, most bet spread in the Sweet 16,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee -5, UConn -3.5, and Kansas State +1.5.
Really?
Interesting. So tonight, all three games. And your most bet money lines are also those teams, Kansas State, Tennessee, UConn tonight.
Interesting.
Don't
like that. Interesting. No, I don't like that either.
And then your most bet tournament champions since the conclusion of the round of 32,
mm-hmm.
UConn. At okay. +900, then Bama at +340, and a lot of people hopping on Kansas State +3,500 as well.
Bama at +350 is just not a good bet, I don't think. That's not good for like a future champion bet. I think that's bad value.
I like UConn. I mean, I picked them before the tournament. I've had a future on them since their like 4-game losing streak.
I've got Texas still.
You have a Texas future?
Mm-hmm.
I had three futures. I had Baylor, Tennessee, UConn. Now I just have Tennessee, UConn. Best bet for tonight?
Best bet. Yeah, like we were just saying in the segment before, kind of like Gonzaga money line, you can get that at even money, +100. I think I'm going to go keep it simple here. Let's parlay Gonzaga money line and Tennessee money line for a little +180 parlay.
I really like UConn. I really like mm-hmm. UConn tonight. That's my best bet tonight. UConn -4 against Arkansas. I'm gonna sink with the ship.
I like it.
I'm either gonna, you know, make it all the way to Valhalla, or I'm gonna sink with the ship.
Burn the boats.
Good little Valhalla reference.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
All right. Tonight's game. Final thoughts, score prediction, leading scorer.
Final thoughts, Matthew said it in his call, just find a way to win. I don't care how.
Just find a way.
I don't care. I don't care about spreads. I don't care about winning a game by more than 5 points, less than 5 points. Just win the game by one or more. That's all I'm asking.
Don't care what it looks like.
Don't care what it looks like either.
I don't care if it's Jemai Machak scoring 38 and everyone else scoring 2.
Nope. I could care less. You could bring Rick Barnes in off the sideline for a layup if that's what we need. I don't care. I'm going to go 73-67. Tennessee wins, and I'm gonna take Santi. I'm gonna take Santi with 15.
I think this is a big night for your 2-point shooting. FAU will play drop coverage all night long with their center. They are going to really back down and try to protect the rim, but that mid-range game is open. Like they want teams to take mid-range twos, and you know that's not a great way to go about today's game of basketball. But you know, specifically for Tennessee, I mean, I think you have a guy in Olivier Kamwa that's really good at hitting some of those like elbowing in, you know, not really post move jumpers, but like kind of back to the basket, like get some of those jumpers from the short mid range area. Yeah, I think you have two guys in Jemai Meshack and Josiah Jordan James both that are really good at hitting like those elbow jumpers, those curl off the screen, pull up kind of mid range jumpers. I think that Tennessee is just going to screen FAU to death. I think they're going to exploit a couple of matchups, specifically, you know, down low and use their physicality offensively. And, you know, I think they're going to try to find a way, too, to try to get Golden out of the paint. You know, try to get him in some ball screens. Try to pull him back out of there. Just think, again, you just need one of those guys to show up and have a big game. And I think tonight it's Josiah.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, I think the mid-range is going to be open. There's going to be a lot of space in that middle portion of the floor between the perimeter and underneath the basket. I think that spells out a big Josiah game. I think Josiah has 16. I think the Vols win 68-61.
I like it.
And punch their way through to the Elite Eight. But, man, 11:55. Everyone just take a deep breath, man. We still got a long way to go. My juices are flowing way too fast.
We're almost into the 9-hour focus.
Too hot right now, and yeah, we still have 9 hours.
We're almost into the 9-hour focus.
That's such a long time, but
just
tomorrow morning, we are either going to be just jovial as all get out. You know, it's going to be just a fantastic celebration of a day, or it's going to be one of those days that it's just really hard to wake up in the morning and come in and try to talk about it. So
let's just watch.
Hope for the good one.
Let's watch the Tennessee-Alabama game 3 times, and we'll be at game time.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. That'll wrap us up for today's show, though. For Sam Beard, I'm Charlie Collier. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. I don't think there's a Talk Sports today. I know that John's up in New York. So some brief national programming, and then Russell Smith will pick things back up at 3 p.m. on the drive. Again, don't forget, fanrunradio.com/tent. You still got about, I don't know, 5 hours to get yourself registered to potentially win a free window tent. All that good fun from our friends at G&J, Sweet 16. Getting in on the fun, giving away a free window tent. But, yeah, man, y'all have a great day. Sam, turn this off.
You're right.
Turn this off.
You're right. You're right.
You know what we need to exit with.
You're right.
Hit me with it. Hit me with it. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Turn it up. We'll see you later. Hopefully tomorrow's a good day. But let's go, Vols. Let's get a win. Let's make our way to the Elite Eight, man. What a special time to be alive. What a great day to be alive.
Let's do it.
Love you all. Have a great day. This has been The Blitz.